Thank you for listening to this teaching presented by Pastor Marie Harrell and Family Community Church. We pray that you will enjoy learning how everyday people can lead extraordinary lives with the power of God.
Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for who you are. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness in every area of our lives. We thank you that you're the God who starts things and you're the God who finishes things. I thank you, Lord God, that you're finishing the work in us. You're bringing things to pass that you have started and you won't leave undone. I thank you, Lord, that even as today we hear the word go forth, we have eyes to see, we have ears to hear, and we are well able, Father, to put into practice those things that we have seen you model, those things that we have seen Jesus model, and those things that you have called us to. And we give you glory and honor for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, hallelujah. We're going to talk about Jesus and prayer, what that looks like. And I will tell you, Jesus was a person of prayer. If you go through the Gospels, you don't go very many verses without him talking about prayer or having a prayer that he was saying, or a time where he was pulling himself away for prayer. And so in that, we know that Jesus... probably one of the biggest things that I would say that prayer is, and I want to talk about that for just a moment, because prayer, I think sometimes we make this thing that is prayer. And I'm not saying that prayer is not something that is holy and righteous, but it is also something that's just communication with God. It's a conversation with God. And the reason I say conversation is because it's important that God just doesn't hear from you, you hear from him. That's actually what a conversation is, right? It's back and forth. Like right now, here in church, we're not really having a conversation. I'm talking to you and you're the recipient of it. But there's a difference. We have a thing here called life groups. And in life groups, there's all kinds of people talking. Why? Because it generates a different kind of synergy. It creates a different result when you have back and forth. And really, that's what prayer is. And again, sometimes I just think of, we think of prayer as... or sometimes it's just our list that we have for God. But in that, prayer is literally, it's a communication. It's a conversation with God. So that's the ultimate foundation. And because that's the foundation, then we know that prayer really is in everything we do. It's not when you're just at church on Sunday, or it's not just when you have something you need from God. No, prayer is in everything. It's in everything we do. It's in everything we think. It's in everything we say. And in that, I'm so grateful, because God wants to be a part of every aspect of your life. And not so that he can be an aspect in, oh, what are you doing? I want to make sure it's right. No, think about the people that you love. You want to be a part of their life. You want to be a part of what they're doing, not so you can micromanage them, but because you love them. And really, we see prayer is not only a conversation, but it's a relationship. And in that relationship, in that conversation, is everything we need. So prayer was a part of everything that Jesus did. And we're going to look at several of those examples as we go forward and seeing what those are. But the first thing that Jesus did is he used prayer in the beginning. If you turn to Luke chapter 3 and verse 21, Jesus was actually getting baptized, and he had gone through several things, you know, with his parents, and we know some of those things in scripture. But it says here in Luke 3 and 21, it came to pass that Jesus was also baptized, and while he prayed, the heaven opened. This literally, when he had that baptism, was a launching forth into his ministry, and kind of it was a public marking of, just like when you've been water baptized, it's a public marking of the commitment you've made to God and saying that I'm moving forward. So we see Jesus did that, and it says when he was baptized, he prayed. The takeaway that I have from this is what he prayed in the beginning. And I want to say this to you, pray in the beginning. Don't wait till it's a mess to pray. Pray when you start, and it might change the outcome that you have. Why? Because you're already in communication. You're already having a conversation with God and saying, hey, I'm coming to you before we get started. Let's have a conversation. Which direction should we head? Which direction are we going to go? Let's talk this out. If you've ever dealt with a big project, you know, you don't just say you want to do a project and then it's done. There's usually planning meetings, and then there's budgeting meetings, and then there's conversations, and then there's design work. And after the design work goes in, then it gets sent back. And almost always, I don't think I've ever met, and if you're a designer, you could attest to this, where you just send it to them, they're like, yes, it's exactly what I wanted. No, they're like, can we do this? Can we do that? Can we do that? But if you think about the fact that if you put prayer into the beginning of what you do, it may change your outcome. Why? Instead of waiting till you need help, going in, because listen, everything, again, I can equate it back to a project at work. We all have our intention of how the project's going to go. But any of us who've dealt with any project, it's amazing. You're like, oh, we didn't know that was going to happen. We didn't think of this. But when you put it in the beginning, we saw Jesus, what did he do? He said, I'm putting it right at the beginning. So the same thing in our lives, we want to put that prayer, that communication with him right at the beginning of what we do, knowing that it makes a difference. And I put here that really the first thing we saw is that just as Jesus is an example. It's the example he set for us. It's the example we gave us. And when you look at things, it's easier sometimes to pattern yourself from what you see. I don't know, you know, sometimes people are really good about reading the manuals when they put something together. But did you ever notice that even with the manuals, usually with the written instruction, they put a picture? Why do they do that? Because some people don't read the words. Or they do, and the words don't make any sense to their head until they have a picture to put with it. So it's the same thing with Jesus in prayer. As we go through these things today, you're going to see he's our pattern. He's our example. He started with prayer in the beginning, and so should we. And what I would also say with this is that you can use prayer in your beginnings. What does that mean? Not just the day you were born, but I can tell you that the day that my children were born, we prayed over them that day. But it wasn't the last time I prayed for them or over them. I have one child in particular, and to be honest, all my kids are men now. And I don't say that in a bad way. That's good, you know, that they've grown up into the things that they have. But I still have one, and they don't know, I don't know if they know it or not. But when they're in bed and I'm in the same house they're in, I go in and I lay my hands on them while they're sleeping. Sometimes I put my hands on a specific part of their body. Sometimes I put it, you know, on their head. But I walk in and I begin to pray over them. Why? Because there's beginnings of new things even happening in their life. And I say that because there's new beginnings you're going to have. It's just not, oh, you got married and that was the beginning. No, in marriage, you have new beginnings, hopefully every day. With your children, you have new beginnings. At work, you have new beginnings. So we see Christ had that, but I want to challenge you with the fact of bring prayer, bring that communication with him into your beginnings and watch the fruit that it will bring as a result. Again, we see Jesus' example in it and we can follow it. The next thing that we see is that prayer, we're going to talk about a few seasons of prayer, but prayer in seasons of life will produce power. I love that. Because listen, that conversation, think about it. The people that you communicate with regularly, it produces power in your relationship. If you're at work and you have planning meetings and that communication, what does it do? It produces a power to be more effective. It's amazing how it happens. We can know this because we can see the example of it. But have you ever been a part of a company or an organization and things end up in silos? Departments that used to communicate no longer do, and now you don't have the same power being manifest. You don't have the same production being put out. And not only that, you don't have the same connection with those groups, and it can even almost be a us against them. I think that this even happens in our relationship with God. When we quit talking to him and listening back, we can become on opposite sides. It becomes us against God. Now, I don't think we really plan it that way, but it kind of becomes like, oh, God, he's there. He's checking in on me. But when you're in a relationship, you don't feel like he's checking in on you. You feel like you're hanging out. Yeah. It's the same thing. You know, you can have a relationship with your parents, especially obviously when you're younger, and then we get into those teenage years, and you're like, why are you in my room? Right? It's not that anything, maybe they're just showing up for the same reason they always have, but now you're not communicating the same way, so now it's you versus them. Don't allow the you versus them to come in to your relationship with God because communication becomes siloed or isn't taking place. And we see Jesus through a couple of different things in these next few areas of scripture that we're going to look at. That he had prayer in each of these times, which could be termed different seasons. And in those seasons, his prayer, his communication with the Father, then created a power for him in the circumstance he was facing. And I say this because don't leave God out. I know we said start at the beginning, but don't just have him in the beginning. Keep him there all the way through because it will produce a power in you. And when you're facing thoughts, when you're facing situations, when you're facing financial circumstances, just the communication itself may not change it in an instant, but it will give you power to see hope in your moment. And so we see this first one with Jesus, and it actually is in Luke chapter 4, and we had just read some scriptures, but we see where Jesus, right after he prays and he's baptized, there then comes this season. It tells us a little bit about Christ and where he came from and who was in his family line. But then in chapter 4, it goes into this whole section where Jesus literally gets baptized. He starts his beginning, and then where does he end up? In the wilderness. How many of us have started something and we're like, oh yeah, it's going to be awesome. We're going to do this. And not too far into it, we feel like we're out in the middle of nowhere with no hope of it ever coming to pass. Really, Jesus, again, was just launched into public display, and now he ends up in the wilderness. When we think of the wilderness, what do you think of? Abundance? Excitement? No. You think of dry, hot, parched, lacking, you know, exposed. Those are the things you think of, but what did Jesus do in this place? He prayed. And because he prayed, it gave him the power to encounter what he was going to face. I want to say this, prayer and communication with God is going to give you the power for whatever you're facing. And sometimes we wait till we're facing it to pray. I like to say this, you know, you don't get insurance because you're hoping you have an accident. No, you have insurance in case you have an accident. But some of us treat our prayer differently, our prayer life, our communication with God differently. We don't use it till we need it. We don't even make a place for it till it's required. The whole purpose of his insurance is we hope we never use it, but if we need to, it's there. And when you begin that prayer part with Christ and with God in your life, guess what? You're building up a reservoir. You're building up a measure of supply. You're building up an abundance so that when things come at you from life, when things that you have to face weren't expected, you have something to pull from. And there's already a relationship and a connection there that's being fed, that's being fueled so that it can produce the result you're looking for. So we see this in Jesus's life and in Luke chapter 4 and 14, and we're going to go into a moment in the wilderness, but it literally, I was talking about the power. It says, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and the news of him went out through all the surrounding areas. Why is this important? Because prayer doesn't just give you power going into it. It gives you power coming out of it. You don't have to be a whipped puppy dog at the end of it. Why? Because you had strength going in. You still have strength going out. You took strength into it, prayer and communication. You took prayer and communication through it, and then you came out with it on the other side. This is the power that it produces when you're having that conversation, when you're having that communication. And so we see Jesus, he had a time of separation in the wilderness. Again, I don't think most of us choose times of separation, but have you ever felt like you're just disconnected from things? And usually when we're in that place, what do we want to do? Oh my God, what's wrong? Oh my God, how do I get out of this? Oh my God, why does it have to be this way? How about this? Man, God, there's a time of separation. Let's have a chat. Let's have a conversation. What's your purpose in this moment I'm in? When you have that conversation, it can change everything. And I've learned that times of separation are actually very valuable. Now, what does that mean? I think we like to have it be dramatic. If things are going on in our life, we're like, I just need a break. Now, that's not the times of separation we're talking about. It may happen that way, but I have found when I have a separation like that, I'm not really producing any power. I'm just producing a temporary stop. And then when I get back, I have more stuff to deal with than when I left. Yes. And that can be even more overwhelming. So I'm not saying that we won't have breaks from things, but again, if you take a break, you'll be able to leave in power and come back in power, not overwhelmed, but strengthened. So in a moment or a season of separation, instead of just saying, I don't like it, I wish it wasn't happening, why? Say, God, what's the purpose of this moment? How can I build and strengthen the power that's within me? How can I use this as a moment to create a greater relationship with you? And then we also see there's a time of building and preparing. I don't know if you've ever watched a house be built. My husband and I have lived in a couple different houses, but one in particular, we bought it before they had laid the foundation. So we had bought our lot and we had our plans, but it kind of seems like for a while they're not really doing anything. We're like, we see you move some dirt. but can you go a little faster? You know, now we weren't necessarily saying that, but we were thinking it, right? Because you've ever done that and been in that season and you drive by every day. Has anything changed? You're like, oh my God, it looks that way for 2 weeks. This is boring. You know, if you're around teenagers, usually by summer, about 2 weeks into it, they're bored. They can't wait to get out of school, but 2 weeks later, they're bored, right? But sometimes we get bored with the time of preparation and building in our lives, not recognizing all the work that's being done, all the things that are being set in motion, so what you desire can actually take place. This is a time to have prayer. This is a time to have communication, because you'll even be able to better recognize the season and the moment you're in and let it complete that which is trying to accomplish. Because my husband and I could have got out there with that lot and said, you know, they're just not doing a good enough job. We're going to help them out. And that's sometimes what we do with God. We decide to help him out in the building phase. So we get in and we start moving things, and guess what? The builder, the contractor comes back and they're like, what the world just happened here? Everything, I left it this way and I came back to this. I don't know if you know this, but there's actually people who show up at the job site when the workers go home, and they like to do things. They like to see things. They like to check it out. And they're like, oh, maybe this should be there. And then you usually get a call the next day. Oh, we were through the house and we have a list of things we want to talk about. And they're like, would you just let us do our job, you know? And sometimes that's what we do with God, though. We go in and switch things. I'm not saying he's sleeping, but, you know, he's got the thing in place. And we're like, I don't think that makes much sense to me. I mean, I'm not an electrician and I'm not a plumber, but I would do it different. So we go in and kind of make some adjustments, all for that contractor or God to come back and say, woohoo, I get to do it all over again. I've got to fix what they fixed for me. So make sure that you're allowing that building season to take its place, but having that conversation and communication with him in it so he can do the work it's called to do. And then we see there's actually times of fasting and prayer. All these things happened with Jesus while he was in the wilderness. And so there's times that even in that you need to fast. And what is fasting? That's not even part of the communication process. You go, it is? I thought it just meant I don't get to eat. No, you're not just like dieting. You're taking a break from food so you can spend extra time in communication. You know, most companies or organizations, they'll do planning meetings, or even sometimes they have like a planning session that will last several days. Why? Because they want to lay out things for the months to come. So that's really kind of like what fasting is. It's saying I'm taking a break from food, whether it's lunch or dinner or 3 days of everything, so that I can spend the time that I'd normally make cooking or eating or doing these things and having extra communication with God, extra prayer, extra things, so that I can be prayer, that I can be empowered for that which I'm going to face. And I will tell you, all of these seasons really set you up for your tomorrows. But if you don't recognize that, you get impatient, much like maybe some younger little tots we know. Why hasn't it happened yet? And you're trying to explain to them that it can't happen that fast if it really wants to be what they want. But sometimes we get that same way. So we want to allow God to have his work in us. And that comes through Jesus looking at his example of what prayer was. And I want to say this, his day was filled with prayer. If you turn to Mark chapter 1, it says in verse 35, it says, now in the morning, having risen a long day before daylight, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. What was it saying? His day was filled with prayer. And if we look again at the accounts of Jesus, he got up before everyone else did so he could pray. There's also, we're going to look at it in a little bit, there was some times in the middle of the night he was up praying. Why? He was having communication throughout the day. And sometimes we need more than we're having. I can tell you, my husband and I, we have communication in our relationship. But sometimes when there's extra things going on, we need more communication. Not because we don't trust each other. Not because we're not sure what the other one's doing. No, because of what we're working towards, we need more check-in points to make sure we're still in sync, to make sure we're still moving the same direction. Again, a great example of this is if you get multiple kids going and places that you're taking them to, what you're going, do you have them today or do I? because there's so many moving pieces, you have to have more check-in points. Otherwise, hopefully this hasn't been you, but there have been parents who left a kid behind or forgot to drop someone off somewhere, right? They don't have any car keys of their own, so it takes someone to get them there. But it's the same way in our lives if you're having those more communication throughout the day. I do talk to God in the morning, but I don't wait to talk to him again till tomorrow morning. And it's amazing how sometimes those check-in points help me course correct. It's kind of like the GPS. Just the other day I was driving and I was talking and I was also thinking about something. And so the GPS was talking to me and I just kept driving. The next thing you know, it's like, course correction. And I could have just stayed in the mode I was in and kept on driving, but I would have never gotten to where I was going. And so we see that when we communicate with God throughout the day like Jesus did, there may be some adjustments that you make. Jesus recognized his daily need for communication and time with God. It's a daily thing. And it's not just a moment of the day. It's all throughout the day. I can't tell you how many times I've been at work and I have my plan and I like my list and I know what my agenda was. But then there's times that I've just kind of left, said, you know, you go to the bathroom or whatever. And I'm like, God, I may have to go to the bathroom, but I'm coming here to have a conversation. Let's have a chat. And it's amazing that I've sometimes walked out into a parking lot. And one of the ways that I like to talk to God when I'm in prayer is I kind of like to get moving. And I talk to myself and I talk to him. And, you know, kind of we're having a rah-rah session of where we need to be. Because sometimes I don't feel like doing what I'm supposed to. Sometimes I don't feel like I have what it takes to do what I'm supposed to. And that's when I go out and I go, Marie, you're a woman of God. You're led by the Spirit of God. And I can tell you there's times I've walked out to the parking lot. Why? Because I thought if I did it in the building, they might think I was a little weird. Or if I'm in the bathroom stall shouting out, they're like, security? Something's going on. But I did have one time security call me up. They're like, what are you doing in the parking lot? We're watching you march out there. I said, oh, I'm talking to God. You know, but who cares? But I knew if I didn't take a moment of disconnect to have a conversation to connect with him, I might have a different outpouring of who and what I was in that situation. That was not what they were looking for or what I was looking for. But it's okay to step away and say, listen, people do it all the time. I've been in meetings, they're like, excuse me real quick. I just got to go to the bathroom. And if you're going to the bathroom to talk to God, you got to go. But it will help bring some course correction. Don't just plod through because you think you don't have to, or you think you don't need to, or you think you don't want to. Some of those days, listen, I didn't want to go out and talk to God, but I knew if I didn't, it wasn't going to be as pretty as if I did. So we see that Jesus did this. And not only did he recognize this need for communication and time with God, he prioritized it. It was at the top of his list. It wasn't number 16 or 28 or 32. He did it regularly. And I like this because not only did he do it and make a priority of it, he kept it even with late nights. Jesus was sometimes up in the middle of the night. One night he was arrested in the middle of the night. But he didn't make that an excuse. And I'll be honest, there's been days I'm like, God, I'll talk to you tomorrow. I'm too tired today. But if I'm following the example of Jesus, even with a late night, it's like, God, I'm still doing my check-in. I may skip brushing my teeth. I may skip doing these other things, but I'm checking in with you. Because I know what the difference it makes. I know that without it, I'm not the same version of Marie that I am when I'm with you. And so it doesn't matter if there's a late night. That's the one thing I don't cut out. And also, it's not just with late nights. It's with busy schedules. I was just talking to someone recently, and they were talking about the fact that as they were growing up, it didn't matter, no matter what was going on, they made sure that as a family, they had family time with God. And I know the challenges of that. We raised three children together, and as doing that, you know, you're running hither, thither, and thither, and sometimes you had to come up with ways creative, and, you know, we'd come in dog tired, but I'm like, it don't matter. We could do all these other activities. We're not going to leave God out. And I remember in one season of our lives, we spent an extreme amount of time in the car. And it was miles and hours. So guess what? We made that our little family altar. And it was great when the kids got a little older because it's more advisable for you not to read while driving. I didn't. I played it if I couldn't read it. But it created a conversation. And we didn't just do the reading of some Bible verses, but we had conversation and dialogue. How many of us get in the car or the restaurant and we're not having dialogue with each other? We're having dialogue with this. You might not be talking loud, but you're having a conversation. But Jesus didn't do that. He said, I'm going to have communication with God no matter what. Even if it's late, even if it's busy, it's a priority. And not only is it a priority, it's the number one priority. Why? Because Jesus said it all the time. Why do you think you're any different? He said, without God, without the Father, I can do nothing. Jesus said that. Most of us go, well, it's Jesus. Yeah, so if it's Jesus that said, without him, I can do nothing, why do you think you can? That's why he had a revelation. He's got to be the top priority, whether it's late, whether it's busy. And we already read, whether it's early, I don't know about you, that's sometimes a little convicting. Are you willing to get up a half hour early so you can talk to God? I'm kind of that person that likes to do everything at night and everything's already ready for the morning. So whatever you are, maybe you're not the late nighter. But can you say you'd like to do everything in the morning? You're like, yeah, I'll get up a half hour early. That means I can go to bed earlier. But maybe it's staying up 15 minutes longer so you have a conversation with him. Starting the day and ending the day with him. So we see that he prioritized it when it was late or when it was busy. I want to say this, and why it's important is your anointing itself will not carry you. What does that mean? The things you're good at, the things that God's even anointed you for, sometimes we can run on adrenaline. But you, if you've ever studied this, and it's a lot of reasons why people have the health issues they do, is because of the world we live in, we run on our adrenaline all the time. God didn't design us to run on adrenaline 24/7. He designed our physical bodies so that when adrenaline was needed, it would be there. But most of us have depleted our adrenaline because we don't have what it takes because there's no restoring of it. And so you have to recognize, why is it important for me to spend time with God? Because your anointing itself might last you now, but it's not going to last you forever. And that's where you get it recharged. That's where you get it refueled. That's where you get it increased. And then we also see, why did he recognize the importance of this? Because he recognized he was sustained by prayer. What does that mean? I picture it almost being a foundation. Your prayer, what is that? Again, it's not just going reciting a bunch of things to God. No, it's having a relationship and a conversation. That's what sustains you. Again, you look at your natural relationships. I have several relationships in my life, but there's one that I'm extremely grateful for. And I was just with someone recently and we're not together all the time, but it's a sustaining relationship. When we have conversation, it fills us both up. Why? Because of the conversations we have, the things that we do, we encourage each other. One will say one thing like, oh, I didn't think of it that way. And it stirs you. And then there's another person in my life that it's one of those moments that I don't want to do what I'm supposed to, or maybe that I don't feel as, you know, confident in a situation, or I'm just tired. They quote things to me that I've quoted to them. And all of a sudden, what? It sustains me in that moment. That's what doing this with God does. It's sustaining you. And that's why Jesus says, it's number one, no matter what. I'm not getting rid of it because this is the only way I can do what I'm supposed to do. And let me tell you, it's the only way you can be a good mom. It's the only way you can be a good dad. It's the only way you can be a good employee. It's the only way you can be a good employer. And I don't mean good for a moment. I mean good all the time. And to say that you're like, Maria, I don't know. I mean, you're saying this, but if I do this, that means nothing's going to ever be bad. I didn't say that. But the more often I have conversation with him, the less my bad moments are. And let me say this part, the less time they last. I'm not going to get up here and tell you that if you talk to God, you're never going to have a bad moment. That's just not reality. Jesus said that too. He said, in this life, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have sorrow. You know, most people, when they're trying to sell you on something, don't want to tell you about the negatives. They're like, oh, it'll all be good. If you get this, you'll never have this issue again. That's just not true. Jesus was real. He said, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have sorrows, but you have overcome them all. Why? Because of who you're connected to. But that connection comes through that communication and through that prayer. And I want to say this. The time that you do out here has to be sustained. We're talking about sustaining by the time that you have in conversation with him. I can't just get up here. Your public time should be supported by your private prayer time. If everything's public and even you come, oh, I prayed with the church. Listen, you better be praying more on your own than you are with someone else. And what I mean by that is I'm not just talking about praying with people. Whatever amount of time you're spending doing anything, you have to have more of it in prayer to be sustained. You're like, Marie, that sounds like a lot. Well, it's not a lot when you just stay connected to God all day long. Again, when I say that, you're just checking in. You know, there's times that my husband and I, we just call each other. We're just checking in. We don't have a reason. Just touching base. That's what you do with God because it will sustain you in those times. The more you have going out, the more you must have coming in. We know this when it comes to our checkbook or our food pantry or whatever else. Why do we think it's different? If we have more going out of our lives, then we got to have more coming into it. And the more you create moments, again, it's great, but what do we want to do? We're like, oh, I need time with God. I'm going to separate myself for 3 days. If you just do it all the time, you don't have to have these big moments. And usually when you have the big moment, it's just to fill up the deficit of what was lacking. If you ever gone out and tried to get side work, it's not so you can usually do for what you're going to, it's so you can make up for what you already did. It's better when you do the little planning ahead of time. There's nothing like taking a vacation and having it paid for before you leave. So much better than having the bill show up 2 or 3 months after you get back and you're like, oh man, it was really great, but not so much anymore, right? It's better to have it paid for you before you go. And in that, when we talk with God, when we have communication with him, more that goes out of us in our lives, and we live in a world where all kinds of things are going on. And literally things drain you all the time. Conversations, interactions, busyness and schedules. And the more you communicate with God, the more it will produce in your life. I want to encourage you to make prayer, just like Jesus did, a part of everything you do. From the beginning to the end, in the moments that are exciting and in the moments that seem boring, in the moments that are hard and in the moments that are easy, and it will produce mighty things in your life. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
We pray that this teaching has empowered you to walk the path of greatness and favor in Christ. We are believing for a breakthrough in every area of your life.